Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I want to have a discussion with you about something I came up with 30 years ago when I first started investing. That was, and is today, the three rules of investing, which I've outlined for 30 years. And as I go into these three rules and cover them today, I want to start off by just discussing the fact that I'm really irritated to some degree. And I don't know what degree I'm actually allowed to be irritated about something like this. It really has nothing to do with me. But I'm very irritated about the fact that I have to keep watching these commercials with Robert Kiyosaki and two or three other idiots that all call themselves financial superstars, and for some reason, I have no idea why, all telling you that silver is where you should put all your money. They used to do this with gold all the time, and now they're doing it with silver. Somebody's paying them a boatload of money to make these commercials, and I guess we all know why. I mean, obviously, they're getting paid to do it. It's a job for them. But do they not have any credibility as being financial self-help gurus? That's what he is, financial planners for the other guys, whatever they are. Doesn't anybody have any self-respect to want to tell people on radio and TV the truth? I just don't understand that. It just blows my mind. It boggles my mind to the utmost that people will just lie. And they are lying through their teeth. The concept that silver is a safe investment is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Silver, if you look at its pricing, and I've got the price index here over the last period of time, this stuff goes up and down like you wouldn't believe it. Now, what is safe about stuff that goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down? You go, well, it could, and this is what they say, it could be in a position that if it did go back up to its highest ever, it could double. Well, that also means that from its highest, it's already half of what its highest was. Think about that. Just think about what they're saying. If it ever goes back up to its peak, it will double in value, which means just use your brain, people. It's at half of what it was at some point that some idiot bought it, and it's now at 50 cents on the dollar what they paid for it. Now, come on. Do you not understand that that's what they're saying? And they're saying now, if you're smart enough and or lucky enough, and probably neither, that it goes up again, you could make some money as far as value. This is ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. It brings me to rule number one in my three rules. Rule number one is never lose money. You say, Del, that's impossible. It's impossible to never lose money. No, it is not impossible to never lose money. It's very possible to never lose money. In fact, there are different kinds of investments where they guarantee you will never lose money. There's actually guarantees in them. I'm thinking one off the top of my head is the annuity advertisements where you buy a new annuity that goes up every year. The stock market goes up, but stays the same if the stock market goes down. So there is stuff that doesn't go down in value. There is also the reality of timing. With real estate, the reason I don't ever lose money in real estate is, number one, it's how you buy it that makes the difference, not how you sell it. If you buy it right, then you're always going to be okay. But number two, it's the timing of the issue. And timing is one of those things that you don't buy real estate to try to time it. You don't buy it to buy and flip and hold for a month or a week or a year. You buy it to hold it for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And during that time, adjacent values may go up and down, but your value doesn't go up and down because you didn't sell it. And so if you don't sell it, it never goes up and down. The adjacent values might go up and down, but you always have the ability to wait. Now, the difference is when you're buying stocks and bonds, the price can change in a nanosecond. I say buying stocks is like shooting yourself with a gun. Or somebody threatens to kill you. I'm going to kill you with this gun, and you know you're going to die. It's going to get you if they want to get you. But I say that buying real estate is like somebody trying to kill me with a train. Dell, if you don't watch out, I'm going to run you down with my train. And I'm going to go, really? Wow. It only comes from one direction? And I can see it miles away. And I only have to move 4 feet to get off the track. I don't think you're going to kill me with your train. I think that you're not going to be able to hurt me at all. I'll just let that train go by and get back on the track again. In other words, I won't sell if there's some kind of a movement in the market that I don't like. I'll just get off the track, not be a buyer or seller for a while, and get back on again. And I've done that for 30 years. I've picked a year or two here and there where I just didn't buy anything, didn't sell anything. It happens. But I never lose any money. I had one deal where I didn't make any money, but that's because I bought the worst possible real estate you could possibly buy. And it was so terrible, I bought it for next to nothing, almost literally nothing. And I turned around and sold it for almost literally nothing because it was the worst real estate I've ever bought. And it was like the worst day and the best day of your life. The day you bought it, it was the best day of your life until you realized what you had. Then it was the worst day of your life. And you sold it, and that was the best day of your life. But I never lost any money with it. So rule number one, don't lose money. Is, to me, it doesn't make any sense. Where do you get money from? You get money from working for it. You want to go and do all that work? I remember when I lost a lot of money in the stock market back when I was in my 20s, late 20s. And I said to myself, you know, I'm not ever going to do that again. I lost it during Black Monday. That was my birthday, in fact, which added insult to injury. But I said, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week to save hard and put my money aside so I can get ahead someday and then have someone just take it all away from me in one day. That was the day I gave up speculation. What is speculation? Well, it's gambling. And you say, well, I don't gamble, Dell. I invest. No, you don't invest. You gamble your money away. What is gambling? What is speculating? Speculating is buying something, anything, and hoping that it changes in value without you doing anything. You're not making a change in value. That would be investing. That would be managing. That would be a business. But just buying it and hoping that it goes up in value is speculation. So people buy stocks and hope they go up in value. You don't do anything to make them go up in value, and you have no idea whether they will or won't. You're just hoping. Say, well, we picked the right stock. Okay, sure. I got you. It's like people. People are all great until the second they're not. Stocks are all great until the second they're not. Once they fall apart, they fall apart. So when you buy yourself a personal residence, you're buying it to consume it. That's a consumption. It's not an investment, although it can go up in value, right? It can go up in value. So it has a speculative side to it. So it's partially a speculative investment and a consumption, a place to live. That's not really an investment. That's not going to retire you someday. It may end up being worth more many, many years from now than what it was when you bought it. That's a possibility, especially in a highly inflated era like we're living in right now. But it's not an investment. Your 401k, there's an interesting one. It's speculation. You're buying stuff and hoping the 401k goes up in value. Now, realize most of the reason the 401k goes up is simply because you're putting more money into it every month. And that's not even an income. So it's kind of crazy. Gold and silver go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. I'll tell you a story. I was at a meeting, a group of people up on stage, and we were being interviewed by maybe 500 people in the audience, and we were all financial and investment consultants of one type or another. And somebody said, what do you think about gold? And I said, gold is a rock. And the guy that sold gold there got really irritated, just got mad as can be. I said, no one's ever got rich from gold. I said, people that are rich buy gold, and the people who sell gold make money from it, but no one ever got rich from gold. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what this guy said and how I blew him out of the water.
Del Walmsley on how to live the lifestyle.
I remember a preacher one time, he took over a church. He started giving a sermon. And everybody applauded the sermon, thought it was really good. They congratulated him, but that's really a good sermon. Then the next Sunday, he gave the same sermon again. And they go, yeah, that's a really good sermon. And then the third week, he gave the same sermon again. Finally, the church elders pulled him aside one day and said, hey, do you realize you're giving the same sermon every day? You haven't changed it up in 3 weeks now. And he looks at them and says, yeah, and I'm going to keep giving it until you guys get it. That's the way I feel sometimes. I feel like I've been giving the same sermon for 26 years. And some of you get it and bless your hearts and souls. Man, I'll tell you, like last night I spent some time with people. There's some great, great members of Lifestyles. I love them. And the accomplishments that they've made are incredible.
We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today I'm talking about the three rules of investing. And as we went to break, I was starting to tell you a little story about when I was on a panel, financial investment panel, and I made the comment that gold was a rock, that it was useless, that it does nothing. And nobody ever got rich by buying gold. And the guy who was the gold salesman leaped to his feet. He goes, that's a lie. That's a lie. You can't say that. Blah, blah, blah. He just went and he lost it, man. And I calmly sat there. I said, sir, let me ask the people out here. There's like 500 people in the audience, sir. I said, how many of you know anybody who made their millions on gold? And the room went dead. Cricket, 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 cricket. Not a thing. I said, how many of you know people that have become rich by buying real estate? And 90% of the people in the room raised their hand. And the guy just sat down and shut up. He had nothing to say. Gold, silver are the most ridiculous investments that you can possibly make. So let's talk about this. Number one, you don't want to speculate. If you ever want to be rich, don't always be living with the threat that tomorrow your wealth could be nothing or half of what it is. Rule one, don't lose money. Own hard assets that don't devaluate. Now, number two, why would you even consider an investment unless it paid you some money? Why would you take your hard-earned money and stick it somewhere unless it paid you money? That's the whole rule. That's the whole idea. Rule number two is there must be cash flow. And it's really, really important to understand that the only way you're ever going to retire is if you can replicate your earned income with passive income cash flow. The thought that you're going to save your way to retirement is a ridiculous concept, because no matter how big the pile of money is, the pile of money can go away just as fast or faster than you put it there. And every time you spend out of it, it gets smaller. As opposed to owning assets that produce income, which means you never touch your assets. So every year when I buy something new, last year I bought 7 grocery stores, okay? Every year when I buy a new piece of real estate of some kind, that asset's in my portfolio. It stays there. I have one apartment complex that I bought. I think I paid $22 million for it. And I'm looking at another one right now that's the exact same size in a similar part of town, very close to each other, and selling for $34 million. From $22 million to $34 million, that's a $12 million gain in 2 years. But that is appreciation. That's capital gains. That's not cash flow. But the property itself produces about $600,000 a year in cash flow. So when you look at this situation, you say, okay, can you live on $600,000 a year out of one property? Sure. Sure I could. I don't need to because I have Multiple properties. In fact, I was going to tell you how many. I don't even know how many. I actually just sold one the other day, too. You know, the bottom line is that if you don't have cash flow, so what is cash flow? Well, silver has no cash flow. Gold has no cash flow. And I was reading up on dividend stock dividends. Some stocks pay dividends, but that's been hovering down around zero. Companies have started cutting their dividends back to zero because they're having problems. So I looked at something that has to have cash flow. It's called bonds. So I looked up bonds, and this is the kind of rate of return that bonds are earning. A three-month bond is earning 1/10 1/10 It's not even earning 1%. It's earning 1/10 A six-month bond is 2.6% 12 months, if you leave your money in there for 12 months, you can get 4/10 Savings accounts. I have online savings accounts that are paying 5/10 Five-year bond is 1.25% rate of return. A 10-year, if you leave your money in there for 10 years, you can earn 1.36%. And if you're willing to leave it in there 30 years, you can earn 1.88%. So the apartment complex I'm looking at right now, it earns 3% rate of return. That's what it's selling for. The price is so high, the cash flow return is only 3%. Now, get this. That is less than what the mortgage interest rate is. The mortgage interest rate is 3.5% if I put a mortgage on it. So it doesn't even pay to put a mortgage on it because I'm not even earning enough to cover the mortgage. That's pretty crazy stuff, huh? But that's how high real estate is right now. And it's getting higher and continuing to go higher. But it's still got 3%. So how much is 3%? Well, compared to a 30-year mortgage, it's twice as much. Compared to a one-year bond, it's 600% higher. 600% higher than a one-year bond. Huh. Doesn't sound so bad when you define it that way, right? Kind of crazy. Where else can I put my money? Well, I could put in some bonds. Oh, yeah, we'll get 0.4%. I could put in a savings account, get 0.5%. Or I can earn 3%. But now, if you look a little deeper, and there is more to it than that, you look at the fact that you have depreciation to offset that income, so you don't have to pay taxes on it. All these other incomes I've talked about so far, you have to pay taxes on. But with real estate, we get depreciation to cover the income. Whereas I'm in the 41, 42% tax bracket because I make an extremely large amount of money, puts me in the very high tax bracket. For me to make this money and not have to pay taxes on it, it covers $1 million worth of taxes minimum if I don't accelerate the depreciation. Now, if I accelerate it, it'd probably be $2 or $3 million. That means I can earn $1 million or $2 million more each year without paying taxes on it. Whew. Well, $1 million, even just $1 million, that's $400,000 worth of taxes I don't pay. Now, when I buy real estate, I don't buy it for the short term. I buy it forever. The real estate deals will outlive me. And I'll probably die and the real estate will still be there for my wife and my kids. It's not going anywhere, and it keeps making money. You have to realize that. Then when you go, wow, you get another $1 million, so add $400,000 onto that. You go, ooh. So now I was making $600,000 in cash flow, and you add another $400,000 to it. Now it's $1 million a year gain. Now it's not too bad. But we'll tell you this, it's a lot better than a bond.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
Real estate investing is tax preferenced. It's not only complicated because it's the government and there's all kinds of rules and regulations to go with it, but it's also complicated because there's so many different ways that real estate income is tax preferenced. The one that blew my mind right out of the blocks when I first started doing real estate was the fact that there's some kind of a law out there. I don't know what the number is. In fact, I've got all the laws right in front of me. I'm not going to dig down and pull it out and give it to you because you wouldn't remember it anyway. One of the laws that got me was the fact that by nature, real estate investing income is considered passive income. And so it's just like stock market income. It's passive. It's just like bond income. That's passive. And so on and so forth. In other words, you are not materially spending your time doing it. You're not materially active in the business. You just do it. You buy a rent house, you put a tenant in there, and voila, you may never deal with it again for a year. Etc., etc. So it's all considered passive income. Now, what is the importance to it being considered passive? Well, do you realize that if you own a business, you pay 15.3% of Social Security and Medicare taxes on every dollar you earn? Do you realize that us real estate investors do not pay that tax on any of our real estate income? So if I make $1 million a year, I don't pay any Social Security or any Medicare tax at all. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Wamsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing my three rules of investing. We've already covered rule number one, which is don't lose money. And people laugh when I tell them don't lose money. They go, there's no way you can not lose money. You absolutely don't have to lose money. Absolutely don't have to lose money. Rule number two is there has to be cash flow. And they don't even understand that they're putting money into things like their house that doesn't pay them a dime. They're putting money into IRAs, which doesn't pay them a dime. They're putting money into 401ks, which doesn't pay them a dime. They're putting money into gold and silver, which doesn't pay them a dime. So they're making no return. The only thing they have is a speculative opportunity, which leads now to rule number three. Rule number three, again, is rather controversial. It is you can't get rich slow. Somebody wrote a book a long time ago, which was just complete, utter nonsense. It was The Millionaire Next Door, I think is the name of the book. And what it was basically saying was that most people become millionaires by buying a home and paying it off over 30 years and letting it go up in value over 30 years, putting money into their 401k over 30 years, and putting money into IRAs over long periods of time. And slowly but surely, over this 30, 40, 50-year period of time, they accumulate $1 million. Well, you have to understand something. That's not rich in this day and age. $1 million is nothing. Let me tell you about $1 million. I first thought I was a millionaire when I owned $1 million worth of real estate, even though I had $900,000 worth of debt on that real estate and only had $100,000 in equity. I had $1 million worth of real estate, so I thought I was a millionaire. Eventually, I got to where I owned $10 million worth of real estate and $9 million of it was debt. So I had $1 million worth of equity. So again, I considered myself a millionaire. And then 1 year, I did a deal, a transaction, where I earned $1 million by selling a large piece of real estate, I think apartment complex. And so I made $1 million in 1 year. And then I realized those other things of being a millionaire were not really being a millionaire in the true sense of the word. You've got to make $1 million. You'll never save $1 million. You have to make $1 million. That's another one of my sayings. You'll never save $1 million. You have to go make $1 million. Well, then I made $1 million a year, then I made $2 million a year, then I made $3 million, and it just kept going up. And it got to the point where I was making $1 million a month. And then I started to see, man, that's interesting. That's a millionaire. But someday I'll probably make $1 million a week. I don't know. I'm not there now, but possible. But the point I'm making to you is that we think way, way smaller. I remember Ross Perot was running for president. And he had his vice president picked out already. His guy's name was Major Applewhite. Never forget that name. And Barbara Walters was interviewing Major Applewhite, and she said, do you think it's fair for a millionaire to run for president? And Applewhite started laughing. She goes, what's wrong? He goes, Ross Perot's not a millionaire. He's a billionaire. Ross Perot makes $1 million a day. And Barbara Walters just about fell down. The point he's making is that don't insult me by calling me a millionaire. And actually, he was calling Ross Perot a millionaire. Don't insult him by calling him a millionaire. He's a billionaire. And a billion is 1,000 million. Think about that. 1,000 million. There are people on this earth that are worth $80 billion. Whew. Mind-boggling. That's more than many, many, many countries' total net worth of the entire country. It's just mind-boggling. But again, you don't get there by saving. It won't ever take you there. It's not going to happen. You have to go make your $1 million. You have to go make your $1 million a year. You have to go make your $1 million a month. You have to go make it. You have to do something to earn it. You have to invest correctly or own a company that's profitable. You have to make money to get really rich. You can't save your way to wealth. Now, like I just told you, on this apartment I bought 2 years ago, and I bought it for $22 million, and now I'm looking at one exactly like it. Almost exactly like it. For $34 million. So that's $12 million more. Now, when I bought that property, I put $9 million down payment and assumed the mortgage on this one. Well, I had $9 million out of pocket, $9.3 million or something like that. And it's gone up $12 million in value. So that's over 100%. It's about 130%. And split over 2 years, it's about 65% a year, I think. 65% a year. Now you go back to those bond numbers and you go, a tenth, one-tenth of a percent. Wow. That really puts it in perspective. Really puts it in perspective. So what's happening in real estate? Why is this so strange? What's happened is real estate values have gone so high because there's really no other place to put your money right now that actually is safe and has cash flow and increases in value at a very rapid rate. So we were paying, people have been paying more and more and more and more and more and more to buy investment real estate. The more you pay for it, either the rent has to grow as fast as the price does, or your rate of return is going to go down because the more you pay for the same rate of return, same amount of money in dividends and cash flow, means your rate of return is going down. Well, that's what's happened. When I first started buying real estate, we were buying it with a 20 cap rate. And a cap rate is how much money it makes if you don't have any leverage on it. So we started with 20 cap rates. And for the most of my career, I'd say of the 30 years I've been doing real estate investing, it's 32 years now, I would say 30 of the 32 years until just the last 2 or 3 years, cap rates were around 10. Ah, no, they've been going up fast. Let's say for 20 of my 30 years, they were at 10%. So you made it 10%. Now, if you leverage that, you could make 15 or 20%. But that was just what they paid, even if you paid cash for it and didn't use leverage. They're now in the threes. Yeah, that's right. They're in the 3% range. And so, man, that's not a lot of cash flow. Now, it's still 600% higher than your bond, but it's not get-rich-quick kind of money. But the difference is that because the prices have been going up so radically fast that the capital gains are through the roof. And so what you don't gain as far as cash flow anymore, you're getting more of in the capital gains. I had bought one property that I held for 15 years, and I bought it at $10,000 a door, and I sold it at $30,000 a door, which is 300% higher, but I held it for 15 years. So 300 divided by 15, that's 20% a year was my capital gains on that over a 15-year period of time. But that's still a lot better than 0.1%. You just got to be able to look at that and see. So the three rules, I stick to them always. Never lose money. There always must be cash flow. And you can't get rich slow. And if you follow those three rules, then you're going to get rich eventually. Because all three take into account the most important factors of why people aren't rich. You're not rich because, number one, you lost the money you had. Capital preservation is the most important part of investing. There's a Texas naysayer, Will Rogers, and he had a saying, don't talk to me about the return on my investment until you talk to me about the return of my investment. I want my money back. I'll talk to you about what I actually made on return-wise at the end of all that. But don't talk about returns. You could be paying me anything you want to pay me right now, then tomorrow steal all my money, and I've made nothing. I've lost all my money. So keep that in mind. Talk to me about the return of my money before you talk to me about the return on my money. Number two, there's got to be cash flow. Anytime you take a dollar out of your wallet that you could be enjoying, nicer home, nicer car, whatever, you better get some return for giving that dollar to somebody.
Dell will be back in a moment. But first, this intel from the files of Dell Wamsley.
You are what you are because of what you do. If you want to change who you are, you have to change what you do. But the reason you don't change what you do is because you've become comfortable with being you. The good life has been stepped in front of by the comfortable, okay life. And what's funny, guys, is that research has shown that it's even worse than that, that some people actually revel in their own misery. Take battered wives, for example. Why do they stay? Well, I'll give him one more chance. He promised me he wouldn't do it again. You know, I want to keep the kids with the father. Lady, he's a insane human being. Get away. Save your life. Save the kids. I can't. I love him. How can you love a person that beats the snot out of you every day? How many times before you realize that you're a sick person and you're living a life of quiet desperation? We'll be right back with the Dell Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000. Each. That was another 300 grand that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Dell Wamsley.
Welcome back to Dell Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about the 3 rules of investing that I created 30 years ago. And for you that are just tuning in right now, we've covered rule number one, which was never lose money. You know, most people that are broke have lost a large sum of money somewhere along the way. No matter how hard you worked and saved and worked and saved, somewhere along the way, you just lost a good portion of it. Number two, there must be cash flow. Many, many people are forced to work until they're 60, 70 years of age because they have no cash flow. And you can't retire until you've replaced your cash flow. You need cash flow. Putting your money into things that doesn't pay you money, big things like your house and your car and your 401k and your IRA, none of those pay you any money. They suck up your money. They take your money away from you. You need investments that pay you money. And last but not least, you can't get rich slow, meaning you can't save your way to real wealth. You're going to have to get out there and earn it by finding some type of investments that are home runs. You can hit a whole bunch of base hits, and that will be good. But to really become rich, you're going to have to hit a home run of some type. You're going to have to hit one out of the park, so to speak. I've had those types of returns. Into one deal, I put in $100,000 and got back $1.3 million, 1,300% return. And it took about 2 years to do that. Although I did own the property for 3 years, so let's be fair about it and say the total return came out over a 3-year period of time. Still phenomenal rate of return. But that's the kind of return that you wake up and go, yeah, I'm rich now. You put $100,000 and walk away with $1.3 million. Interestingly enough, I did that during the 2008 when the market was crashing. That's when I bought that property, and I bought, I think, six of them in a two-year period of time there. And every one I bought got better and better and better and better because the market was just crashing and crashing and crashing and crashing and falling and falling and falling. And everybody else was getting scared and getting out or going broke or getting foreclosed on or repossessed or whatever. And I just kept buying them from the bank, 50 cents on the dollar. First it was like, you know, 90 cents on the dollar, then 80, then 70, then 60, then 50. It got so ridiculous. I ended up buying a property that had sold for $55,000 a few years previous. I bought it for $8,000 a door. Instead of $55,000 a door, I bought it for $8,000 a door. So you can imagine why I made such a large profit on that particular deal. You don't run into those deals that often. You know, that's the best deal that I've ever done, I think. I'm pretty sure that's the best deal I've ever been in. It was just fun to do it. It was nice because then those deals kickstarted real wealth. I had wealth before that, but that was just wealth. It wasn't real wealth. The real wealth didn't come until I started doing those big, giant deals and making big, giant gains. Then it started adding up really quick. And, of course, when you've got a lot of money from the gains of these other deals, then you can move that forward and in bigger deals and continue to grow. So that's, you know, the process. There it is. You get started. You earn some cash flow while you're working. Build up your cash flow to where you can retire and keep building up your portfolio and making large, long-term capital gains that make you wealthier and wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. A lot of times, the syndicators that we have at Lifestyles will sell a property and give everybody their money back and a gain. The people go, well, why did you sell it? Well, we got you a gain and we gave you back your money. No, I don't know what to do with this money now. What do I put the money? I'm not making anything with it. And it's really interesting how that becomes the way you start to see things. I don't want the money. I want the cash flow from the money. That's what I need. If I take the money, then I'll start using the money and then I won't have the money. So I don't want the money. I want the cash flow that comes from the money. As I started with today, I just want to tell you that I'm really irritated with this one commercial that comes on TV all the time about silver. I think Robert Kiyosaki is the only guy. There's four guys on it. I don't know who the other guys are. They're nobodies to me. Supposedly, they're supposed to be somebodies because they're using them as experts. But I've seen Robert Kiyosaki, and I just think it's a darn shame that somebody that's been around as long as he has to go on TV and lie to people about silver being safe. There's nothing safe about silver. As he even says in his own estimate, it's down 50% from its high. How can something be safe that's down 50% from its high? Where somebody else bought it, by the way. Again, because of their recommendation. Silver's going up, 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 up. You need to get on it while it's going up, 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 up. So it got up there. They bought it. Boom. Dropped in half. How is that safe? And how do these guys even look at themselves in the mirror when they get on those TV commercials and say that stuff? Again, I want you to hate this commercial as bad as I do. When they get on there and say, if silver gets back to its original high, its previous high, then it is poised to double in value. Do you not understand what that means? If it's going to double in value just to get back to where it was, that means it's lost half of its value. Now listen to that commercial again the next time you hear it. Listen carefully and see if you are not embarrassed that these grown men are on TV lying to people by saying that silver is safe, that it's a hedge for going broke, it's a hedge for inflation, all of which is a lie. Bottom line is this, guys. We don't do this so that we have a lot of money. We do this so that we make a lot of money, and we do it without getting up and going to work every day. It's not the money. It's the quality of the lifestyle that makes the difference. And if you understand that, then you truly understand the point I'm trying to make.
Now more intel from the files of Del Wamsley.
I found a book by a gentleman that went from 400 pounds down to 200 pounds to become Mr. Universe. Bruce Randall's his name, so you can look that name up, see that I'm not making this up. And I read the guy's book, and now I could not only conceive, I could believe. It had been done. There it is. Before and after pictures, the story, the diet, the exercise, everything. So now I could conceive, believe, and eventually achieve. Now the most important thing that the next year and a half did for me while I lost all that weight and became one of the strongest kids in the nation and definitely won almost every strength contest I ever went to at that part of my age against people my own age. What I realized was not that I was a good bodybuilder, a good powerlifter, a good Olympic lifter, which I did all of them, but it wasn't, isn't what I perceived. I never was going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I could see that. I didn't have the genetics for it. But what I perceived was I had learned the secret to something. Now, I had not yet read Think and Grow Rich, but I knew that I had wrapped my arms around the secret of life. Which was what? Whatever the mind of man can conceive, believe, it can achieve. As long as it goes out and gets the specific knowledge it needs from someone who's been there. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.